A reading from the prophet Zephaniah. Disaster to the rebellious, the befouled, the tyrannical city. She has not listened to the call. She has not bowed to correction. Yes, she's not trusted in Yahweh. She's not drawn near to her God. Yes, then I shall purge the lips of the peoples, so that all may invoke the name of God, and serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants will bring me tribute. When the day comes, you will never again be ashamed of all the deeds with which you once rebelled against me, for I shall rid you of those who exult in your pride. Never again will you strut on my holy mountain, but in you I shall leave surviving a humble and lowly people, and those who are left in Israel will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. They will do no wrong, will tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, but they will be able to graze and rest with no one to alarm them. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21. What is your opinion? Jesus said. A man had two sons. He went and said to the first, My boy, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not go. But afterwards he thought better of it and went. The man then went and said the same thing to the second son, who answered, Certainly, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the father's will? They said, The first. Jesus said to them, In truth I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you showing the way of uprightness, but you did not believe him, and yet the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even after seeing that, you refuse to think better of it and believe in him. He thought better of it. When the scientists aimed their rockets towards the moon back in the 1960s, did they plan to hit it with their first shot, the initial settings they'd calculated when the huge machine blasted off from the launch pad? Not at all. As the rocket went soaring into orbit, then cruised for 4 days across the 300,000-kilometer gap to the moon, many times Mission Control on Earth arranged a mid-course correction. A little boost from a control jet would push the speeding mooncraft a bit further left or right, up or down. Eventually, they got it right on target, and a human being could finally take that first amazing step away from our home planet. We don't have to get it right the first time. This important principle of the mid-course correction greatly extends our chances of succeeding in many things. We can adjust our first ideas, our first inaccurate efforts, and so reach our goal. Today, our reading from Matthew's Gospel about the two sons tells us just that. The first son tried to please his dad by enthusiastically agreeing to go and work in the vineyard, but his heart wasn't in it. He soon remembered some of the many things he liked to do more than pruning grapevines, and sneaked off to visit his girlfriend or play video games or whatever. The other son was more upfront with their father. No, Dad, I don't feel like it. But then he thought better of it. Maybe it is better to do as the old man asked. After all, it will help him while that workman is away sick. Yes, bringing in the grapes more quickly will make more profit for our family business. We'll all be better off. I'll go. Jesus' phrase, he thought better of it, describes it beautifully. If we're open to listening to our common sense, our own experience, our second choices will be much wiser than our first. As we become confident that we can make good mid-course corrections, our lives will be much more peaceful. We won't panic at the thought of making a decision that might turn out wrong. We won't be ruled by our fear of making a mistake. Especially if we were brought up by religious teachers who tended to be perfectionists, this discovery will free us from those unreal expectations that can cripple a child or even an adult for a long time. Christians should be perfect, they told us. Not so. It's most unwise to expect children to be perfect from the beginning. Nobody's perfect. No institution, including our good Catholic Church. Note how Jesus warned the Jewish religious leaders, for whom he told this and other pointed stories, of the unlikely second runners getting into God's realm first. When we were learning to walk, didn't we fall down many times? Those falls were necessary if we were ever to become good at walking. It's the same with learning to live effective, moral, good human lives. What does the prophet Zephaniah tell us in our other preaching, other reading for today? God wants a people who work shoulder to shoulder in serving God, cooperation, people who think of the common good. This does not come easily to us. We first think of our own selves. We might presume that the common good is what the second son thought of when he thought better of it and went to work in the vineyard. The common good seems to be the very thing that governments today often do not consider when they make their policies. It's notorious that the gap between the rich and the poor is everywhere getting wider. Why? Because those with money and power, the power that it gives, put pressure on governments to do what will make them even more wealthy. We've only to look at the billions of dollars given recently to prop up banks and other financial institutions rather than distributed more broadly among poorer people. Other grave offenders against the common good of our world are the military and the arms industries. These lean on governments to make policies that favour war, which can never solve our problems. If only a part of the billions of dollars spent on weapons could be spent on better public health and on lifting up the world's poor from their wretchedness. But we can always use the principle of the mid-course correction, or second thoughts. It's never too late to correct our mistakes. Zephaniah, that wise prophet, tells us that there is no need to be ashamed even of our worst mistakes. Quote, when that day comes, you will never again be ashamed of all the deeds with which you once rebelled against me. Unquote. God is unimaginably compassionate and always wants to heal us, not punish us. The prophet foresees that the human race, when it has listened to its second thoughts, will praise God with purged lips. That is, lips made clean, purified, by people who have found how to be better at speaking the truth. How much damage we do, even to our family members, by deceiving each other. And on the international scale, by the way we do not try to see the good in other cultures and religions. The media could hardly claim to have purged lips. They often stir up our shallow prejudices, trying to manipulate us to fear or hate, even to want to attack some phantom enemy. Terrorists or Muslims, it used to be communists, rather than to understand them and see our common humanity. They seem to do this to turn our attention away from what is wrong within our own society and the important work of arranging it more justly. In this Advent season, it might be healthy for us to ask how honest have we been in judging and speaking about other individuals and racial groups. Just as the son in Jesus' story re-examined how he had rejected his father's request to help in the vineyard, we might make some honest self-evaluations about those we often find ourselves rejecting. Every re-examining of a first rash choice could lead us towards a mid-course correction that might lead us to live a more mature and truthful life before our God. End of homily.